Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Just how large is the love of God for sinners in Christ? That's the theme that we continue to explore this Lenten season on our Sundays in Lent. And this week, we want to view God's love through the lens of just how broad and wide it is. We all have a tendency to draw a circle around the people who we think are the right kind of people, our kind of people. These are the people worth caring about, speaking well about, and treating with value and dignity. And I would imagine for some, maybe for many, this is a very big circle, that there aren't very many who fall outside of it. And yet for every one of us, there's a temptation at some point, whether we realize it or not, to place certain people outside that circle. To consider them so bad, offensive, despicable, evil, and nasty that they're unworthy of our love, pity, and care. And we actually have a prophet in the Bible who drew lines around whole groups of people, people unworthy of care and concern. God called Jonah to go to the east, to Nineveh, the capital city of the Assyrians, where he was to preach repentance to people who were the greatest threat and enemy of his nation. But as you probably know the story, instead of obeying and going to Nineveh as God commanded, Jonah headed straight in the opposite direction and hitched a ride on a ship that was sailing east, west. But God sent a storm on the sea. Jonah got thrown into that sea by the ship's sailors, by his own suggestion, by the way. God rescues Jonah from drowning, preserving him in the belly of a fish. Jonah prays to God, and the fish vomits Jonah back out onto dry ground. And that's where the Old Testament reading that we heard earlier begins, as God commands Jonah a second time to go to Nineveh and to call the Assyrians to repentance. I'm going to read a few verses of that Old Testament reading again. And as I do, I want you to note the stark contrast between how wide God's mercy is and how not so wide Jonah's mercy is. So just to kind of set it up a little bit, John has gone as God instructed with this message, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. And then after the king himself commanded that all the people seek the Lord's mercy, we read, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But this displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That's why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left? The Assyrians were probably the most brutal people in recorded history. Ancient artwork depicts Assyrian troops skinning people alive and impaling people alive on sharp poles. In fact, some years after Jonah, the Assyrians would annihilate the northern kingdom of Israel, and the 10 of 12 tribes of God's people ceased to exist. They would also invade the southern kingdom of Judah. And while God would ultimately rescue Jerusalem from destruction, it's estimated that as much as 50% of the population of Judah was either killed or carried off, forced marched to a life of slavery in various places of the Assyrian Empire. If Jonah was going to draw a circle which excluded those who did not deserve love or mercy, the Assyrians would most certainly be on the outside. But the pity of God, the love of God, drew no such lines and extended all the way to their capital city, all the way to that ruthless king on his throne. Because of their great sin, God declared that his judgment was at hand and that Nineveh would be overturned. But in his great mercy, God sent them a prophet, led them to repentance, took pity on them, and spared them. And that made Jonah mad. Now consider another prophet. Well, pastor, actually. Pastor Henry Gehrke. Pastor Gehrke was an LCMS pastor from St. Louis who volunteered as an army chaplain during World War II. After the Allies defeated Hitler, it looked as if Pastor Gehrke would soon return home to his wife and family. But because he was Lutheran and because he spoke German, he was requested to remain in Europe for a special assignment. He was to travel to Nuremberg, Germany, to serve as the chaplain to the Nazi war criminals being put on trial by an international tribunal for the unspeakable things they had done, including the carefully orchestrated murder of millions of Jews. These men had certainly drawn a circle around a group of people that they thought were worthless. And everyone outside that circle was beyond their care, beyond their pity. And the world knew that they committed acts of horrendous evil and were spoken of as monsters. And they were. But Pastor Gehrke had a calling. A calling not only from the Allied authorities, but from our God, whose mercy is so broad. By God's grace, Chaplain Gehrke didn't draw his circle so narrowly that it excluded these men. He spoke to them frankly about their sins, about their need for a Savior, about Jesus Christ, who had borne their sins, all of their sins, even their sins. And some, like Hermann Göring, refused to believe that Jesus could help him, refused to believe that Jesus was anything more than a man. Göring had concealed cyanide in his cell and committed suicide, dying without hope, without God, without the divine mercy and forgiveness which God was so graciously extending to him through Pastor Gehrke. But several other prominent Nazis came to acknowledge their sin. They confessed their evil to Gehrke and to God. He pronounced absolution upon them. He communed them with the body and blood of Christ. He continued to minister to them with God's word and promises there in prison. A number of them were condemned to die. Gehrke actually walked beside four of them on their way to be hanged. Some of them you'll meet one day in heaven, in the light and joy of Christ's kingdom, where forgiven sinners share in Christ's glory and love forever. Journalist Tim Townsend in 2015 wrote a book, Mission at Nuremberg, about Gehrke and his chaplaincy to these Nazis. And from beginning to end, it gives striking testimony to the wide mercy of God and the beauty of that mercy being extended through the lives of his people. But not everyone appreciated the book. The circle-drawing spirit of Jonah is alive and well in hearts yet today. And if you go on Amazon and if you read the book review comments, while most of them are very positive, there are two negative reviews that stand out. The first one-star review reads, "Getting close to these monsters and giving them human qualities and emotions is very difficult to swallow. I understand the Christian philosophy of forgiveness, but that should be left to God. Let them go to their deaths, fearing that they may burn in hell. They provided no comfort to those they burned." The other reviewer, who gave it a one star, was offended for the same reason. He says, "It appears the author tries to rationalize why Gehrke became so close to the Nazis. And he does this in a number of ways. First, by giving a short biography of each Nazi, quoting numerous times, Gerke strived to remember that before their alliance with Hitler, before the choices they made that led to mayhem and murder, they had all been boys once, and that they were still God's children. The reader begins to wonder his purpose other than to downgrade what the Nazis had done. And the review closes with the blunt statement, "Just asking forgiveness is not enough to save these Nazi monsters' souls." Just asking forgiveness is not enough to save these Nazi monsters' souls. But it is. Because of Jesus Christ. God's love is offered to all. To Assyrians, to Nazis, to monsters. To you and to me. His mercy is that great and that wide. Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of all, the whole world, every nation, every person. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us that message of reconciliation. As Adam's one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so Jesus' one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Christ died for all. Christ died for all. It's so hard to imagine that no one is excluded from God's mercy, that his love for sinners in Christ is so broad, so high, that it excludes no race or clan or man, no man or woman. As one of our hymns puts it, how wide the love of Christ. It knows not class or race, but holds our one humanity within its broad embrace. God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Does that mean that all people will get to heaven? No. And it breaks God's heart. But God's mercy and love extends to everybody, to all. He calls us, his forgiven children, to erase the lines that we have drawn in our heart. No more circles. God calls us to love and to care and to be more like Chaplain Gerke and less like Jonah. There's no difference. All people have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But God's mercy and forgiveness in Jesus Christ is for all of us. For Jews and Gentiles, for slaves and free, for rich and poor, for black and white, for citizens and for immigrants, for male and for female, and for those who are confused about their gender or disordered in their sexuality. God's love and mercy in Christ extends to labor and to management, to the famous and the unknown, to Republicans and to Democrats, to progressives and to nationalists, to your neighbor whose dog keeps getting into your trash, and to that person whose social media posts get under your skin like nobody else can. God's mercy extends to all of these people, and even to you. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Lent is a season of repentance. It's a time to examine our own hearts before God, to confess our sins, to cling to his enormous mercy for us in Jesus Christ. And this morning, let our prayer be, Lord God, open my eyes to my own lack of love and mercy for others. How have I been like Jonah? What lines have I drawn in my heart to exclude others from my pity and love, from my prayers and from my helping? Lord God, have mercy on a narrow-hearted sinner like me. Grant me your grace, that I may walk in love and mercy toward all, with a wider heart of love, with a wider mercy toward every other sinner, just as your mercy is for all, Heavenly Father, even for me. Amen.